Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis number 626. At the end of the chapter, appreciating your spouse's nature, another difference between men and women, generally speaking, is their mode of communication, conversation. And proper communication, which we're going to discuss in the next couple of shiurim, is a key factor that's vital for the stability of the marriage. And failure to relate to one's spouse on their wavelength causes unnecessary frustration and disappointment and friction that could be avoided, could very well be avoided by everyone if they just learn certain skills. And a lot of these painful interactions happen because each one is unaware of the other person's thoughts and processes and communication. And when they learn it and they know how to communicate well, they save themselves a tremendous amount of agmas nefesh and enhance their marriage greatly. Reb Chaim Friedlander remarked that a husband must be aware of the fact that women generally are more talkative than men. They have a natural tendency to have more conversations than men do. Look up in Kedushin Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, and it flows into the conversations. And she finds more enjoyment usually speaking rather than listening. And very often a husband, unfortunately, will not relate to this in a positive way. He will interpret it negatively, may belittle his wife. You know, they're always on the phone, always talking, never-ending talking, in a very sarcastic, demeaning way. And that's a very unhealthy way to look at it. And really, it needs to be shifted and recognized. This is where Hashem put this nature in them, and to appreciate it and to respect it and to work through it. It's a positive tool, the talking and the conversation in her role as a mother, in her role as a housewife, in her role overall in life. When the Torah called Miriam Pua, according to many Midrashim and Rashi, is that she pacifies her crying infant by talking to the child in a certain way. It's a power of speech that helps them express their motherly love and affection. It's something that a husband, a father, should never ever take lightly or make fun of in any way whatsoever. It's a vital role in everything there. And she tries her best and she makes social calls and all of these things and best buys of things and recipes of things and all the other things that enhance married life. So this very speech ability and conversation that very often husbands get frustrated or feel negative about is actually a very key factor in keeping a household running and keeping the house in a excellent frame of mind and atmosphere. It's something that we take often lightly, and we shouldn't take it lightly. Successful marriage hinges upon the recognition of these different natures, accepting each other's individuality, not trying to change them, not trying to mold the other spouse in the way you want him or her to be like. You cannot change your spouse's nature. It would be a self-defeating move to try to do so. It would create machlokes in the marriage. It would be counterproductive for any purpose in marriage. And like the Kotzke said, pertaining to what the Chazal say, that kashem she'ein de'oseim partzufeim shaveis, kach ein de'oseim shaveis. Just like two people don't have the same facial features, so too no two people have the same opinion. They don't have the same de'os. Yerushalmi Perek Tes Halacha Aleph discusses this. And just as we automatically accept the validity and we understand that no two people look exactly alike, and we're not even bothered by that fact that we don't look exactly alike or that we look very different, the same thing should be our attitude pertaining to their individual opinions and their nature and their characteristics and their makeup. We should never, ever be frustrated with that and recognize that that's what it is, and especially pertaining to your own husband and your wife. It is very normal that you think differently. Don't look at it like you have a stone wall dividing you when you don't understand each other. You work on being mutually understood. You create a conducive atmosphere of bridging that gap and trying to understand each other and be patient with each other to bridge that gap, to meet in that golden middle where you could utilize each other's strengths and to bring out the most beautiful aspects of your relationship, Be'ezus Hashem. And from here, this week, conclude that chapter in the last couple of shiurim regarding appreciating one's spouse's different nature. And again, it's recommended to read up on the personality types shiurim that we already gave, the best show we will give, hopefully, in the Enneagram and those type of shiurim that will definitely enhance the understanding if we use it properly and create a beautiful atmosphere in the marriage and a great respect for each other regarding those very differences. We'll see it as a bracha, as a tremendous bracha. The next chapter is an extremely important chapter, chapter 5, communication, which is a gateway to a happy marriage. And chapter 6 as well talks about the dynamic of communication. These are extremely important chapters. We had other shiurim in different books and svarim pertaining to it. It's very, very important. People downplay the importance of this. We all lack this vital skill. And it makes no difference. It's interesting of how old we are and how bright we may be and how well we know our spouses and how we believe we interact. All of us need improvement on this. And when we learn how to communicate the right way effectively, we'll be able to solve a lot of differences. This is the koyach hadibur that's within us, the ruach mamalala, the power of speech. This healthy communication does contribute to a successful marriage. How to talk, how to listen to one spouse. It connects people. It builds relationships. It builds the relationship between you and your wife, you and your husband. Communication, what we call in the Torah perspective, is very different than the way people say what communication is and what the secular world says communication is. It doesn't mean, that you could say everything and anything. And there's a miscommunication. If you don't say what you mean all the time, you lack communication skills. Very often, person thinks that their spouse is lazy or clumsy or did something stupid and holds back from saying so. That means he can't communicate properly. No. You'll be over a nos devarim. In other words, if you see something, Lashon Hara is even on the truth, by the way, as we know. And if you say something, even if it's truthful and it constitutes a nos devarim, which will initiate argument, besides the Aveira itself creating that Agmas Nefesh and that argument, that's not the Torah concept of communication. Okay, it's not like I'm saying it the way it is, people say, I'm just spelling it out clearly. There's a lot of thought behind that, right? So you can't say, because of the sake of communication, I'm going to be Oivar Inos Dvarim or Lashon Hara, which is even on the Emes. Rather, there is a healthy communication that is defined by, overall, the ability to express yourself and making yourself understood without hurting your spouse's feelings, without hurting your husband or wife's feelings. Certainly, even when it's necessary to sometimes do so, when you have to bring up a painful subject, to minimize it as much as possible and do it the right way. To discuss issues and differences with your spouse without that discussion developing into a quarrel and a very big disagreement. Communication in a healthy way has you arrive at conclusions and compromises that are suitable and agreeable to both of you. The sharing of experiences, the sharing of dreams, the sharing of aspirations, the sharing of personal problems in a healthy way, not in a codependent way, but in a healthy way. To listen to and understand your spouse as so that he or she feels listened to and feels understood. These are the aspects of healthy communication we're talking about. Lashon Hara free, Einos Devarim free. And when these objectives are achieved, a couple will feel happy, will be content for each other, their need will be filled, and their happiness and content will bring a closeness between them and will strengthen and solidify their marriage bond. So that is why proper communication is a stepping stone in forging the marriage unity. And again, like we say all the time, you learn it, you practice it, you gain the material, you listen to shiurim, but you also daven for siyata d'shamaya to help with this communication, to help you with this skill. We can't do anything on our own without HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping us. So we enlist HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, and we have betachen in him, and we trust him that everything can be done only through him and his siyata d'shamaya. But of course, we have to do our shtadlus. We mentioned this concept a few times over the years about going beyond Shana Rishayna. Most of us, for some of you that had a beautiful, healthy Shana Rishayna the first year, the first few years, I'm very happy for you. Most of us listening, the way it seems, I can't really know for sure, but based on who I've spoken to, including myself, because of lack of knowledge, lack of education, or just simply the way life came about, many of us did not experience what Shana Rishayna really should have been. There's bumps in the road. And again, it's not something to feel bad about. You should know, if you look back in your past and tell other people the same thing, Shana Rishayna is very... If a Shana Rishayna went very well, that's beautiful. And when it didn't, you need to know that that does not mean, oh, I married the wrong person, it wasn't my zivig, and so on, that what people think. The bumps in the roads that take place in Shana Rishayna is normal. The fact that some people have it more difficult than others is normal. The fact that a lot of us were not aware of all the skills and tools we needed to know then, also normal. We're trying to reverse that trend. But the bottom line of what we're trying to tell you here is that the Shana Rishayna period is not a fixed time that terminates 1 year after marriage. What is Shana Rishayna really? The purpose of it is, it's the state that a couple needs to achieve in the relationship that needs to extend sometimes beyond the first Shana Rishayna. If after years of marriage, the conversations are just about business matters, about household chores, about who will pay the bills, bring the car for repair, who's doing the shopping, who's doing the homework, picking kids up from school, and or if they're, you know, experience difficulty in communicating the differences with each other, and there's no real mutual trust there, then they haven't achieved the goals of what Shana Rishayna was meant to be. That is the Yesod Gadol. Rav Shlomo Wolbo, other Rabbanim, said many times in our time, Shana Rishayna extends a few years into marriage until they experience this healthy communication in the right way. And advice is given for couples, plus people who are like me, yours truly, married over 20 plus years and beyond. We need to regenerate, despite our busy schedules, and despite the fact that we've been married for a very long time, this type of Shana Rishayna mode, to work on these guidelines that we're going to talk about in these upcoming Shiurim, which is chapter 5 and chapter 6 of this book, in particular chapter 6 when we get up to it, to get this ball rolling and practice this Shana Rishayna. We're going to talk about the communication aspects of it, but it applies to everything in that mode. It is very, very important, and we emphasize it again and again. I admit myself, I said this many times, I've been married over 30 years. The first 15 years, although I did learn a lot, Baruch Hashem, and Rav Pam said a lot to us, and Rav Gdemila said a lot to us, but overall, there was still a lot of information that I was lacking and did not know. And when I collected this data with Hashgacha Pratis, how it worked out to be, then I learned on my own. So everything that I say in all of these shiurim that you're hearing right now is not my own. It's things that I learned, that I'm practicing, and I practiced in a late bloomer, like so to speak, you know? It was... Not until a lot later. For some of you that are fortunate that are younger and able to grab onto this younger, wonderful. But it makes no difference. It makes no difference. It is very important not to have that old mentality. This is the way it is. This is the way it's going to be. And it's too late. And whatever it is. No. It doesn't make a difference how old you are. It doesn't make a difference how long you've been married. You keep this mode of beyond Shana Rishayna mode. And be mechadish yourself. And this applies to your avodas Hashem with Hashem himself, your tefillah, your Torah, your avodah, no matter how old you are and no matter how run down you feel you are, and you have mechadish yourself and reinvent yourself, the same thing applies in your marriages, especially if both of you are determined to do so. You will have tremendous bracha by working towards this. And enroll in the Pnimi Shiurim. Husband and wife, the joint shiurim and the separate shiurim that help with tools and skills to enhance this concept and bring back a spark into the marriage and work on that communication that we may have been lacking all these years and worked on it and worked through it. Be'ezus Hashem, you'll be matzliach. Bracha v'atzlacha.